went to his funeral, I thought, you know, such a holy man, such a spiritual giant, I just wonder how this funeral is going to be like. They must going to say wonderful things about him. They sang one song, "This Little Light of Mine." And for me, that was George. You know, the humility, the childlikeness, such a spiritual giant. But so, Demi, where are you? Yeah, Demi, please let us sing that song more often. It is so amazing. Right, shall we just pray? Yes, Lord, this morning we just want to thank you that we can celebrate, Lord, because you are alive. And as Francisco has earlier reminded us, the same power that raised you from the death lives in us. Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for everything that you've done for us. Thank you that you live in us, and thank you that you are for us. And this morning we have one desire, Lord, and that is to lift you up and to honor you and to glorify your name and to just celebrate who you are. And we ask that you will do that by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so where's Pietri? Oh, he's supposed to introduce me, so I'll do it myself. My name is Johan. I just told Vanessa's mom this morning. I was here at the very first service of Shofar in 2010 with Tiens, so I've been here quite a while. But this morning, I would like to talk about who is this Jesus, whom we are celebrating today. And next slide. You know, earlier in the year, the Lord gave me personally this scripture from Psalm 27, where he said, where David says, "There's one thing I desire from God, to live in his presence, to meditate in his temple, and to delight myself in Jesus." And you know, you can't delight yourself in somebody whom you don't know what his characteristics are. And so this delight thing was really a problem for me, because I said, "Lord, I think I can perhaps cope with the first two, but how do I delight myself?" So the Lord said, "Just go to Scripture and see who I am, and then you will have seen more than enough to delight yourself in." And then, funnily enough, I was reading Colossians. That's the book I'm reading at the moment. And I want to share this morning with you just a few characteristics or titles of Jesus as he revealed himself to me the last few weeks in Colossians. And it won't be long, because I used to lecture and I know exactly when people are not listening anymore. Right, so next, please. You know, when you are a king, you have titles. What I listed there about Prince Charles, you won't believe me, but it's about a third of his titles. Let's just go through them quickly. He's heir apparent to the crown. His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, Knight of the Garter. I don't know what that means. Duke of Cornwall, Grand Master of the Order of Bath, Knight of the Thistle, Earl of the Chester, Lord of the Isles, and Prince and Great Steward of Scotland. That is now an earthly prince who's still waiting to become king. We don't know whether that will happen. But you know, Jesus Christ has more than 100 titles in the Bible. And if you want to delight yourself in him, you must know what his titles are. So let's look at a few of his titles. And the first one is, he is Christ the Creator. You know, this scripture I'm going to read to you now, I first remember hearing this when I was a missionary doctor in Malawi in 1973. And it was an old gentleman from England who came to visit, and he had to lead the Bible study that evening. And he read this part, and I said, "Lord, I never knew this." So perhaps some of you don't knew this, so I'm going to read it to you. Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He himself said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." God existed. He existed before God made anything at all. In fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth, the things we can see and the things we can't. Everything you've ever seen on this earth, everything that's ever been seen through a telescope or a microscope, was created by Christ. And he was before all else began, and it is his power that holds everything together. Did you know that if Christ would have to withdraw for 1 second from this world or from our lives, everything would fall apart? He not only created everything, he keeps it together. You know, he renews our bodies every day. As a doctor, I can tell you that we are renewed every day, you know, the cells in our body. Without that, we would all have aged very quickly and wouldn't have been here today to talk. Right, next. You know, when we start talking about the universe, people say, I have a friend who says, oh, please stop, man, I can't take that, it's too big and too high for me. But you know what? They say, if you want to put it into context, for every grain of sand on any seashore of the world, there's 1 million stars. Now, we all know how many grains of sand, and he created that. So this morning, I want us to move away a bit from the Jesus in the manger, the Jesus on the cross, to the risen Lord, the one who reigns, who's been there forever, who is the personification of the Father, and who has created everything. Next. But he also created you and me. Everything about you and me screams of uniqueness. There is no one else like you or me. Did you know that? 7 billion people in this world. No one looks like you, talks like you, thinks like you. As the gifts that you have, you are unique. You know, if I was a Pentecostal teacher, I would have said, well, everybody please say, I scream of uniqueness, but I'm not a Pentecostal preacher. So I'm not going to ask you to do that. But you can think it anyway, in your hearts. I want you to think in your hearts, I scream of uniqueness. But you know, this was done with a purpose. God created each one of us for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to be part of a family, biological family, to be part, to do a certain job, of course. But the main purpose why he created us is to be part of his body. That's why he died, and that's why he rose again, so that each one of us can find our rightful place in his body. And we'll come to that at the end, and I don't want you to forget this, because this is actually what it's all about this morning, what I would like to say this morning. Right, next. There's a few verses in Colossians that are in italics, and I don't know of any other book in the Bible, things that Paul wrote, which are highlighted by italics. And I'm going to highlight these verses. The one is, Christ in us, our hope of glory. It's highlighted. Which means this is really important to understand. There is no life in this life or the life after this life without Christ in us. No works, no keeping the laws, no anything else can give you life apart from Jesus Christ in you and in me. And he is our hope of glory. What is this glory? That glory is in this life to become what he's meant you to become in this life, in his body and also whatever you do, but also in the life after this life, to become or to be what he wanted you to be, the hope that we have. You know, the other day, Retief gave a beautiful sermon, and we sometimes have coffee after he preached. And in that sermon, he said, at the end, as an afterthought, he said, I just want to ask you, where will you be in 8 years' time? Where will you be in 80 years? Where will you be in 800 years? And where will you be in 8 million years? And then I said, I don't know whether they liked it or not, but I said, you know, of everything you said yesterday, that was the most profound. Because it brought me back to reality. What are we busy with? We are busy with eternity. Where will you and I be in 8 million years? We will only be there where we should be because of this hope of glory that we have in us, and that is Jesus Christ. Right, the next. Oh, I love this. This is also highlighted. Christ is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Colossians says that it was a secret, for God's secret plan, now at last made known, it's highlighted, is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the mighty All the mighty wealth of wisdom and knowledge is hidden in Christ. You know, every little wisdom we need to raise our children, to solve a difficult problem at work, to heal a broken relationship, every bit of wisdom we need is actually in Christ. And then that part that Scripture says, there's untapped riches, untapped. And I just want to say something about, can I just show that to you? It says, mighty untapped treasures, which means what we spoke about this morning, we have to open ourselves up to receive the treasures, the mighty untapped treasures that God wants to impart to us. So the next, I would just like to, this is amazing, but this is actually quoted this morning by one of my brothers sitting here in front in the intercession. The Lord says in Psalm 81, he says, verse 10, only test me, open your mouth wide, and see if I won't fill it. You will receive every blessing you can use. So Christ invites us, and he says, here I am, with all the riches of wisdom and knowledge that you may ever need. Just open up, test me, and see whether I won't give you that which you need. And then a very sad verse for me is this verse in Psalm 78:41. This is about the Jews, you know, on their way to the promised land, where it says, again and again they turned away and tempted God to kill them and limited the Holy One of Israel from giving them his blessings. Did you know, we sang about God's goodness this morning. We just sang good, 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 how good he is. But did you know that we can limit that? We have the ability to limit God's goodness in our lives through disobedience and not becoming what he's planned for us. Right. And then this one also highlighted Christ, the highest ruler. Colossians 2:10 says, he is the highest ruler with authority over every other power. You know, I want to share this little story with you. Perhaps some of you have read it. I believe it's the truth because it was actually on television in Egypt. There was an Egyptian man who got home and saw his wife reading the Bible. He was a Muslim. He killed her and he buried his two children alive. A little girl of 8 years and a baby of 8 months. After 2 weeks, another family member passed away. They had another funeral. They excavated the site. Of course, he told a different story to the police, the husband. And what did they find? The two children were alive after 2 weeks. So they asked the children, how on earth is it possible that you can live being covered with dirt for 2 weeks? So the little girl who could talk, the 8-year-old one, said, you know, while we were in this place, a man came every day with hands who had wounds in them. And he helped my mother to breastfeed the baby, and he brought me food. And you know, why this is so profound is it just shows us. Oh yes, I must just say I'm very interested in the Muslim faith because I worked amongst these people for quite a while of my life. They believe in Jesus as a prophet, but not as a Messiah. They don't believe he was crucified, and they don't believe he is Lord. And what that testimony over the Egyptian TV showed is what we're celebrating today. Jesus was definitely crucified, because the little girl didn't know about this. She saw the wounds in his hands. And Jesus rose again and is alive. And he helped those two children in the grave. So we have no doubts that what we're saying this morning is the truth. He is the highest ruler. All authority in life and death belongs to him. No power in your life can ever be bigger than the power of Jesus. He's also a deliverer. I just testified in the week to somebody, and I said, you know, I grew up in a house where Christ was, I was taught about Jesus the Savior, but I was not taught about Jesus the deliverer. I had to get quite old before somebody told me that Jesus is not only a Savior, but a deliverer. He can deliver us from anything, anything, and that is why he died. Right, the next. Christ, our everything. This is also in italics in Colossians 2:10. So you have everything when you have Christ, and you are filled with God through your union with Christ. You know, we are just human, and so often I think we desire things, you know. If I would only have that, or only be that, or whatever, then I would be satisfied. But the Word of God says, if you have Jesus inside of you, living in you, you have everything. And if you have everything with him, you can't lose anything. Suppose, it's not easy what I'm going to say now, but I must say it. You may lose your house, your cars, your wealth, your children, your spouse. But the Word of God says, if you have Jesus, you have everything. You may even lose your life. You still have everything. Because Jesus is in eternity waiting for us. And now we're going to tell you another little story. Now, this is a very simple story. But it's so simple that I've never forgotten it. It was told in a sermon like this by another pastor. So I'm going to leave it with you. One day there were two friends in New York City. The one friend had a very rich father who had room filled with the most beautiful paintings from the most famous painters, because he was very rich. He could actually start a gallery, this rich boy's father. The other boy came from a very ordinary background, but he really loved this boy of the rich. They were very good friends. They were like David and Jonathan. But the other boy from the normal household was a painter, and he painted the rich friend. He made a painting of him and he gave it to the father. So the two boys were called up for war, for service in war, and the one was killed. The rich man's son was killed. And when his son was killed, he sort of decided that he hasn't got much to live for anymore, so he's going to sell off all the paintings. But in his heart, he made a certain decision about that auction. He decided to first auction the painting of his son. And the friend of the son came to this auction, and he really desired that painting more than anything else, because it was his best friend. And the painting was held up, the auctioneer started waiting for bidding, and the only hand that went up for this was $100, the friend who got the painting. And now everybody was very excited, because now we're moving on to the rest of the auction. And then the father stood up, took the microphone and said, he who has the son, my son, has got everything. Everything else here goes to the friend, because he chose my son. You know, and this is a simple story, very simple, but it is so profound. in its truth. In this life and the life to come, if you have Jesus and I have Jesus, we have everything. Right, next. Now I'm ending off, and this is actually what I wanted to talk about today, but because it was the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, I decided I had to tell you the things that I've told you, but I want to end off with this. Jesus, in Colossians 1:18, it says, Christ is the head of the body, his church. That is the final message I want to leave with you today. And you know, we can be so relaxed this morning here, because every one of us who have this hope of glory, Jesus living in us, we're part of a body. We are not, don't have to pretend to be a foot or a hand or an ear or whatever. We can just be ourselves, because we are planted. We are part of a body. And the head of this body is Jesus Christ. But you know, just imagine for yourself, I'm no doctor, ne? A head without a body lying there or standing there on a pole can't do much. It's interesting, Jesus said, I'm the head, but you are the body. That means we have to become or do what he can't do. Because in this world, we are his body. He hasn't got a body yet. He's risen, he's in heaven, he's reigning, but he's the head. So it says in, just want to tell you, if you have time today, go and read this yourselves, this famous chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. This is a famous chapter about the gifts and the ministries in church. It starts with all the charismatic gifts, and then it ends off with the fivefold ministry. 1 Corinthians 12. But in between, like a sandwich, is embedded this that I'm going to read with you now, for you now. It says, our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they are all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. You know, I was just thinking of this, and please don't take me wrong today or be under condemnation or anything. You can drift your whole life from church to church, and you can never be part of a body, really of a functioning body. That concept that God planted you somewhere. I told you I visited this specific congregation when it was started in 2010, Tiens Jacob, Tiens Po was the young minister who did the church plant. And that day, that very day, the Lord said, this is where you planted. This is where you belong. This is your body. I know there's a big Christian body outside, but this is where I want you. This is your body. So I listened. And the Lord, I was shortly after that asked to be an elder. I didn't really strive for that because I'm for retirement. I wanted to do nice things. And then the Lord actually, in a miraculous way, gave me a word that said, that is what I want you to do. So I was so sure that the Lord planted me here. You know, when a newborn baby is born, he's born with all its parts. Né? It's not a normal baby. I'm talking about a normal baby now. Né? Everything should be there. And that is how God sees his body. He wants he put the different parts together, like here in Shofar, and he wants them to function as he has planned in eternity. That's why he died, and that's why he rose. So the next part of scripture, this is quite long, but I'm going to read it with you. It says, yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that not make it any, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body? Yeah, so, you know, we can't all be the same thing. And I'm not any more important standing here this morning than Chan, who put the chauffeur signs outside, or Emmy, who's doing the sound, or Demi, who did. And the rest of it says that there are certain parts of the body that are much more prominent than others, but that doesn't mean that the ones that you don't see are not important. At this very moment, there are people doing children's church. We never see them because we don't attend children's church. But they do, they're an amazing part of this body without whom this body could not function. There's the intercessors on a Thursday evening. Not everybody is an intercessor. And most of you don't even know who they are. But they are there. And the fact that I can stand here this morning doing what I'm doing is because of these people performing their part of the body. And the other thing I just want to say about the body is that it says that if one part of the body suffers, everybody suffer. You know, I love to work in my garden, and I can work quite hard, but I tell you, if I have a little cut on my toe at the back here, but my foot scarf, the rest of the body is not very happy. So what I'm saying is, if one of us is suffering in whatever way, the whole body suffers. If one of us goes through a loss, the whole body suffers. If one of us gets a very good promotion or an amazing gifting from God ministering to us here, we're all happy. Nobody is feeling excluded because it's our body. It's part of us. So we celebrate and we embrace the gifts that we see in people because we're part of one body. And you know, I'm a doctor, and I was a neurologist for children, and I know how sad it is if a child has two legs and the one leg becomes paralyzed because of polio. He cannot walk. The whole body suffers. He's actually limited. We say the word that we use is handicapped. And we don't want this body of Christ to be a handicapped body. We want it to be a very healthy, functioning body. And the only way it can be like that is if we take our proper place and become what we called to become. And you know, I want to end here this morning. Denny, can you just play a few notes for us? Because we're family, we can just be very true to ourselves and to each other. While I was preparing this, remember I've given you now what the Lord has laid on my heart, and now we have to respond to what we've heard. And I realized there are three areas in which we may need a response. The first is, if you've never become part of the body, that means you've never received this hope of glory in your heart, then you can't be a part of the body. That is the one prerequisite. You have to have Jesus in your heart. So there are people here who can pray. If there's anybody who's not sure about that, you're welcome. We'll pray with you. But there's two other categories, and the one category is where you've never known this, what I said this morning. You thought it's okay if I go to church now and then. It's even okay if I, you know, travel around a bit about churches, as long as I'm just now and then. But you've never actually become a part of a body. You don't really even know whether you are head. Oh, no, you're not there, sorry. Jesus is there. You don't even know whether you are a hand or a foot or an ear. And if you go and read 1 Corinthians 12, where the charismatic gifts are given and the ministries, each one of us is something in the body. Each one of us. And I'm sure most of us here already know what we are. But if you don't know, I'm going to give time now, just a few minutes of quiet time of prayer, where we ask the Lord, Lord, please show me. And you know what the Lord says? If we ask, if we open our mouth and test him, he will fill it with every blessing. So if you're sitting here this morning, and up till this morning, you haven't really known where you fit in this body, just ask him. And I promise you, he will tell you. Yeah. And then the third category is where you know exactly what you are, but you've limited God. by disobedience. And I read that sad scripture to you where it says God wanted to give so much, but he was limited. We can limit God by not becoming, not be connected. And just one last thing. To be this functioning body, we all have to keep connected to the head, which is Jesus. Then there will be no division. There will be total unity because he is the head. And all the power, the nerves, and the things comes from him and make it one perfect unity. And we also have a function to look at each other, after each other. For instance, I recently saw a very tragic story. Actually, a friend of mine whose friend had lost a hand, they had to be amputated because of cancer, cancerous growth. And I tell you, to be a body with one hand is almost impossible. You can't fasten your laces. You can't do buttons. You can't. There's so many, many things that you can't do with one hand. And very often the body of Christ struggles and limps and is handicapped because of this. And I just want us to, for a few minutes, what we can do is we can just sit still, connect with the Lord yourself. You can pray with somebody next to you if you want. You're welcome. Like twos, somebody you're comfortable with. And if you want prayer in the front, you're welcome. This is family. We don't put pressure on anybody. But I'm just going to give a minute or two for this. Amen. I'm just going to pray for us. I'm sure the Lord has spoken to each one of us this morning, and I'm going to pray a prayer now, and I'm going to ask that what over the last few minutes the Lord has dropped in your spirit, that he will help you, give you the grace to become that. Okay, shall we do that? Lord, we just thank you that you're so amazing, Lord, and that you're alive and that you're amongst us, and you are here, Lord, because you said you are the head of the body. And if the body gathers, you said, I will be amongst them because I'm the head. And Lord, this morning, we know, as we've just said earlier, all wisdom and knowledge is in you. Often untapped, Lord, untapped resources, also in our own lives, where we limit you and where we don't open our mouths, we don't test you. And this morning, I pray for every person here. Lord, you saw every heart. You heard every silent prayer. You saw every bit of confusion, uncertainty. And Lord, this morning, we just ask that where there's confusion, Lord, that you will just bring calmness and peace and direction and motivation. And Lord, where there was disobedience, Lord, and confession this morning of people who have never responded, Lord, know that they are, that we are part of your body and haven't responded in the correct way, we just ask that you will forgive us, Lord, and you'll give us another chance, Lord, just to become that part of the body that you've destined us to be. And Lord, I just pray this morning that no person will leave here this morning the same. No person will just be like a paralyzed limb, Lord, or amputated arm. But everybody will be thriving with life and with just energy, being connected to each other and being connected to you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do through this healthy, thriving body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So there is some tea and coffee and cake at the back. Anybody for prayer, we're still here. You're most welcome. If it's any of the areas we address this morning.